Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
From the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. We are still reeling after Charlottesville. The nation is still reeling. Of course, no one is more reeling than the community of Charlottesville. And in just a few minutes, I'm going to bring back the same guests I had on if you heard my show Monday, Leslie Scott Jones and David Strawn Vaughn, who were witnesses to the attack on their city. They are local radio hosts on our affiliate, WPVC in Charlottesville. And we talked at length on Monday as to what happened and what they witnessed and the horror and terror of Charlottesville. This hour, I want to talk about what we do now, what we do next. Charlottesville has happened. It's going to be remembered in history, the terror attack in Charlottesville. And the question is now, where do we go from here? And our first problem, obviously, is the President of the United States. Now, I didn't get a chance to play this on Monday, so I'm going to play it today for you. I went on Fox News on Saturday, the day of the attack. I went on after the car attack and just after Donald Trump said something about, many sides. We got to condemn violence on many sides. And we all know that it took him 2 days to condemn white supremacy. What I want you to hear is what I had to say Saturday, soon after he first failed to condemn white supremacy on Fox News.
Information from the police on who the driver is yet. We just know that person is in custody. Are there other steps that the government should take to try to tamp down some of the language and some of the tone and tenor of what we've seen?
Well, I think the president needs to condemn white nationalism, needs to condemn white supremacy, needs to make clear that all Americans have the right to their views. This isn't about the statues anymore. This is about a bunch of people who came out with torches last night in Charlottesville to make people afraid, much like the Ku Klux Klan did of old. And they shouted things like white power. They shouted Nazi slogans. You know, hundreds of thousands of Americans died in World War II to oppose Nazism. This isn't something up for debate. This is something that all Americans, Republicans and Democrats, need to oppose. And, you know, I salute Marco Rubio for calling them out. I think it's time for the president to do so.
You know, he did condemn in a statement, you know, hatred and bigotry, he said. He said we're all Americans first and this must stop. So in your view, what you're saying tonight at this hour is that's just not enough.
Well, in my view, it's wrong to equivocate between two sides. It's wrong to treat as equals people who are promoting white supremacy, people who want to put their foot on other Americans' throats, and people who are marching for equality and justice. Now, violence by anyone is bad. I don't care who it comes from, left or right or whomever. But these are not two equal ideologies. There's an ideology of hatred and an ideology of love. And I would really like to see the president, as Senator Rubio did, call him out and say, this hatred is not what America stands for.
Well,
and I think once he does that.
To be fair to him, he did say that. I mean, he said, well, this is not who we are. But you're saying that there are other steps that they should take, that he wasn't strong enough in your
view. Yeah, it's not just condemning hatred, because it's easy to condemn hatred and violence. I certainly condemn hatred and violence on all sides. But he needs to specify that white supremacy is wrong, because these white nationalists, these neo-Nazis, and I've got one in my home city of Alexandria, are preaching hate. They're trying to stir up hate. They're trying, and this has no place in America. They have a right to their free speech.
So there I was on Fox News, and I think you probably heard how the host kept trying to basically say, it's enough. What Trump said was enough. Don't you think it was enough? Does he really have to do more? And I'm like, yes, yes. Yes. And of course, it wasn't just me calling for him to do more. As I mentioned on air, Marco Rubio, Senator Rubio, Republican of Florida, had already called on him to do more. And the voices rose, Democrat and Republican, into a crescendo. And then I was sure he was going to say something the next day, all day Sunday. He said nothing on Sunday. Then finally on Monday, he gives this speech that he reads that he clearly didn't write, with sort of no passion and no real belief that he actually believes the words he's saying, where he does give his standard condemnation of neo-Nazis, white supremacists, whatever. It's kind of weak. It's definitely late, 48 hours late. But then yesterday, he kind of takes it all back. Did you see his press conference yesterday? It was a weird thing to say. He was like, well, there's both sides. There were problems on both sides. And some of the people the night before, that's the night, remember, when they had those torches, all those white supremacists, all those neo-Nazis marching with torches, shouting anti-black, anti-Jewish, really nasty things, walking around with those torches. He says some of those were good people. Clearly, he doesn't get it. Clearly, he's tone deaf. And now I'd like to bring in my guests from Monday, Leslie Scott Jones and David Strawn Vaughn, to ask you, first of all, David Von Strawn, to ask you.
Thank you.
First, you, Leslie, what do you think? I think I know what you think about the president, but what do you think we as a community, as good progressive Americans, can do or should do to get the message across that, hey, the president doesn't get it?
Well, first of all, Mark, thanks for having us again. I think the conversation has moved beyond whether we're progressive or Republican or Democrat. I think the conversation has moved beyond whether or not the president gets it, because most people know that he doesn't. I think the conversation now needs to be, how do we change our communities on a grassroots level so that we are upholding the values that are important to us?
So what do you recommend?
Actions.
Give me some of the actions you would recommend for your community in Charlottesville, and then I'll get to David after that.
So I would recommend a letter-writing campaign, not only to city council, but also to the judge overseeing the injunction case about the removal of the statues, and urge those people who we have elected, who we, you know, depend on to defend our community in a legal way, to do this, that this is what the community wants, and this is what they need to do, or they're losing their job.
Okay. And it's certainly the letter to the city council, it makes sense. In terms of the judge, just because I kind of know how these work, probably the best way would be to sort of combine your voices in some kind of amicus brief or something like that. Judges don't normally read private letters on ongoing cases, so I just wouldn't want you to waste your time. But there are ways to get your views across in an amicus brief or something like that to the judge. David, what do you think we need to do?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me.
Sure.
Thank you. And both of us. I think there are certain outlets that people can go to in order to find ways to be active in your community. There is a local Standing Up for Racial Justice chapter in almost every major city, which is SURJ.
S-U-R-J. Capital S-U-R-J. Go ahead. Sorry.
I'm sorry.
Just so people know how to find it. It's capital S-U-R-J, but keep going.
Exactly. It's an organization made for white people to understand the problems that people of color and minorities face getting justice in this country. So if you're looking for any type of research, what you can do, that's a good thing to have. That's a good place to go to. There's multiple places, but I just want to speak about the president for a little bit.
Please, go ahead.
Because people don't understand the complete complicity that and the accountability that he has in this culmination of terror that descended upon our city. You know, he has people like Steve Miller and Steve Bannon writing his speeches, coaching him, He is actually trying to figure out what to do with Steve Bannon. I know he wants him out of the White House, but he's honestly scared of him. And he's honestly scared of the criticism he might get if he were
to release
an individual like that.
When you say he's scared of him, Trump is scared of firing Bannon? Is that what you mean to say?
Yeah, I think he is.
Because he's afraid of pushback from white nationalists, neo-Nazis, so forth.
Exactly. And that's particularly his base, particularly the people that got him in the office, and he doesn't want to lose that. He doesn't want to lose his base. Also, this just speaks to the kind of history of white nationalists trying to get political power, how the Ku Klux Klan has, implanted political people, his father being a Ku Klux Klan member himself, Donald Trump. So, I mean, the roots trace back and the ideals trace back very far. But Leslie's right in the fact that he doesn't get it, and we need to move past a president that doesn't understand or doesn't want to understand the problems of our nation. What we do to move forward, we listen to each other. We have conversation. We open a dialogue, a difficult dialogue that people don't necessarily want to have with each other, but is necessary for people to have. I was watching the memorial for Heather Heyer, and her mother said probably the most eloquent things that I've ever heard come out of this tragedy, things that the president should have said in his place, being that, white nationalists tried to shut her up, and white nationalists tried to kill this conversation of doing something more for your community, standing up against hatred and violent rhetoric. And that's exactly why this person did what he did to kill our voices, to get us to crawl into holes of fear and doubt and discomfort. And what we need to do as a community and as a country is defy that fear and defy that that want for people like us, predominantly people of color, to be silent on this issue. We need to keep speaking about it. We need to keep talking about it. It makes people uncomfortable, but it is necessary in order for our country to crawl from the ideals of white supremacy, crawl out of the ideas of patriarchy, crawl out of the ideas of transphobia.
Leslie, it's now been 4 days since Charlottesville. And I'm curious to know the mood of the community, the mood of people you know, your mood, the mood of that you see in the streets. Are they shell-shocked? That's kind of how I imagine it, but I don't know. I'm not in Charlottesville, and I don't want to put words in your mouth. How does it feel there today, 4 days later?
Well, I think it depends on who you are.
Okay.
I think it's very easy for white people who weren't on the ground over the weekend to breathe a sigh of relief and go, whew, thank God those people are gone. But the truth of the matter is that they're not gone. And they're not quiet. They have been continually harassing people of color in town.
Who they? Who's they? You said they.
White supremacists have been harassing.
They're still there?
They're still here, Mark.
Okay, I didn't even know that. I haven't seen that report on the media. Do they wear like Nazi uniforms? Do they shout out racist things?
What problem? They're not wearing a swastika on their forehead.
Right.
They're not draped in Confederate flag.
Tell me what you've heard has happened. I hate to do this. We got to take a break. But when we come back, Leslie, I want you to tell me, and do you too, David, exactly what you've heard happen post, terrorist attack. I frankly, and I'm embarrassed to say this, I wasn't even aware they were still in town. So I want to hear what's going on. If you want to call in, folks, 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
Schooling the GOP, one hand tied behind his back, the Constitution in the other. It's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. My guests are Leslie Scott Jones and David Von Strawn of Charlottesville from our affiliate station, WPVC. Leslie, you were telling me before the break that the white supremacists haven't gone home, that they may not be wearing Nazi swastikas anymore, but they're still causing, spreading hatred. Tell me specifically what you know.
Well, I think the issue here is that there were people that didn't have to drive into town to participate in on the white supremacist side.
So from Charlottesville.
These people, they are residents of Charlottesville. They are people that we work beside and, you know, shop beside every single day. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine was at Lowe's just this today. He was at Lowe's yep. this morning and aided a customer of color who was being harassed and called racial epithets in the middle of Lowe's.
Wow.
And so this has not stopped.
And I also want to say that there were also white nationalists and supremacists that were also lobbying for the protest of Heather Heyer's memorial at the Paramount Theater in the downtown mall today. We had to ask for additional security to have a memorial for a person that died from a terrorist attack
Disgusting.
Brought on by white supremacists and white nationalists. So the hatred is real. The threat is real. It continues to this very day. We have people in our group and in our affinity groups that are being trolled. Their social media networks are being searched. They are being harassed on a daily basis. And like Leslie said, this isn't over. They're still here. It's going to continue predominantly for people of color. And it's easy for white people to just, you know, like Leslie said, take a sigh of relief and say, okay, back to business, back to work. Our town is back to normal. But no, our town is far from normal. It will never be normal ever again. So to just think that this weekend was just an isolated incident, that this won't continue unless we do the work that is necessary in order to change our country for the better, that is problematic and also a very dangerous type of thinking.
Leslie, anything else you've heard or seen about continued harassment, hatred?
Well, I mean, like David said, we've had people that we know personally followed and harassed. I mean, personally, I am still afraid to go downtown. Hmm. That just does not seem like an area that's safe for a person of color. Hmm. I have had friends who have asked the same question, you know, what can I do? How can I get involved? And one of them wanted to have coffee with me this week, and they were like, oh, yeah, let's meet on the downtown mall. I'm like, could we not?
I have to take another break. I hear you, Leslie. I have to take another break. Sorry, it's the nature of radio. I actually have a caller on the line who sounds like a right-winger. I don't know if y'all want to take him or not, but we'll deal with that after the break. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Back after this.
So remember in your heart, if you're not outraged, you're not paying attention. And I want you to pay attention. Find what's wrong. Don't ignore it. Don't look the other way. You make a point to look at it and say to yourself, what can I do to make a difference? And that's how you're going to make my child's death worthwhile. I'd rather have my child, but by golly, if I got to give her up, we're going to make it count.
And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
That, of course, was the voice of Heather Heyer's mother. Heather Heyer being, of course, the victim of the terrorist attack in Charlottesville conducted by neo-Nazis on Saturday. They, of course, have caught the person in the car who executed the attack. But from what I understand, from at least one witness I've heard on television, there were neo-Nazis, white supremacists helping him get out or trying to help him get away. That's, of course, at the very least, an accomplice after the fact, which can be useful in a conspiracy charge. I think this is going to turn out to be a conspiracy. I don't think he acted alone. We'll find out. The investigators will find out. But we definitely want justice for Heather Heyer and, of course, her mother's beautiful words. If she's got to die, whew, let's make it count. I've got on the line, I've got David Von Strawn and Leslie Scott Jones from our affiliate station, WPVC in Charlottesville. I've also got the lines open at 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Let's go to Joe, line 3 in Phoenix, Arizona. Hey, Joe, how are you?
Hey, good, thanks. Good show. First, got to say, this guy should be tried, and Virginia has a death penalty. So, you know, if he was guilty of the murder, he should suffer the consequences. Now, that being said, I think we need honesty here. And if we're going to fight the hate and racism and despicableness of Nazis, we also have to fight the hate and despicableness of Antifa and many of the left-wing groups who are equally hateful and equally despicable violent.
Joe, what hate did you see espoused by any left-wing group in Charlottesville on Saturday?
Do you know the history of Antifa?
I'm asking you a specific question. Did you see or hear any hate espoused? What did you see or hear? What did you see or hear?
Yeah, they labeled everybody. They also initiated some of the violence, but not all of it, but some of it. And I think, you know,
they're full of hate. You used a very specific word.
They are full of hate.
Okay. What did you see? Or maybe the answer is you didn't see anything in Charlottesville and you just are sort of expecting that it happened. But did you see or hear?
I read the Washington Post,
New York Times. I watched it on TV. I didn't see any person on that, you know, say, you know, whites are evil or bad, or I didn't see that. So tell me what you say.
Are you saying that Antifa is not a hate group?
I just talk about what happened in Charlottesville. You know, I mean, you can
answer the question.
I support anti-fascism because I hate fascism. So I'm who hates fascism is on my side. But I you know, can I categorize? Answer my question, Joe. Tell me, because you just said something, and I just want you to back it up if you can. You said there was, I think you were saying there's hatred on both sides, and we all agree the neo-Nazis are hatred. There's no dispute about that. What did you see? I mean, because, you know, people can defend themselves, too, in a fight. Tell me what you saw that's hatred. Did you hear any words? And there was lots of coverage on lots of stations, and Fox News had it, too. Did you hear any coverage where you heard any shouting? Because I heard from the neo-Nazis. I heard white power.
I have heard Antifa members say death to capitalists,
death to Trump supporters.
Okay. Yes, I have heard that.
I didn't hear death to Trump supporters. I'm no fan of Trump supporters, but I certainly don't want.
Well, you know, to look, you, if you if you
hey,
get
hey,
all
Joe,
of your,
I want to get my guests in there because my guests. On the phone.
Well, you're not even letting me make my point. You're just.
Well, I think you made your point, didn't you? Okay,
no, I didn't because
right,
you're talking. Right, you're trying to throw
all right,
specific
all right, go
ahead.
I'll give you 30 uninterrupted seconds. Finish your point. Go.
The point is, we have to be honest, and if we evaluate the despicableness of the history of the Nazi group and what they stand for, we also have to evaluate the despicableness and the honesty of what Antifa and by any means necessary and those types of left-wing hate groups stand for. And they stand for the violent overthrow of capitalist and democratic governments. They're anarchist. Look at their flag. Their flag is a combination of the communist flag and the anarchist flag. They originally received funding from Stalin in the 30s, and they have kept that type of hate throughout. They are just hateful.
Okay, you made your point. I appreciate it. Let me hear from my guests because they were on the ground in Charlottesville. They were there. You and I both weren't there, Joe. So let me hear from them what they saw from what someone, I guess, Trump might call the alt-left. So Leslie or David, go ahead, David.
First of all, I'm going to completely challenge that term, alt-left. It's a term that is non-existent.
Right, I've never heard of it before either.
It is a made-up epitaph. And also, I want to challenge the term of alt-right, because what Richard Spencer has done with that term is he's sanitized
the
violent rhetoric.
Agreed.
Of
neo-Nazis. You know, I agree. It's neo-Nazis and white supremacists. That's what
use. It's just a sanitary term.
I agree.
To describe a Nazi and to describe a white nationalist and to describe a white supremacist. But I want to speak on my personal account of being on the ground with anti-fascist groups. congregate, which is a group of clergymen and women that showed up in solidarity and love and peace for their community, stood in nonviolence to face the neo-Nazis and the white supremacists that showed up with violence and with hatred, and they were assaulted, they were spit on, they had bottles of urine thrown at them. These are men and women of God who have pledged their life to the teachings of Jesus Christ of love and faith. And I'm not particularly religious, but it's a feeling and a prophecy that I truly respect and truly honor and thank them for being there. And what anti-fascist groups did is they came and loved and supported and defended those clergymen, particularly those clergymen and women, and they protected them from the violence and the hatred and the barbs and the spears and the swords and the batons that all of these neo-Nazi fascist groups.
David, let me ask you, did you hear any counter-protesters of any kind shout something like death to Trump supporters, chanting death to anyone?
No.
Did you see any violence initiated by counter-protesters?
No.
Okay, Leslie, let me ask you the same question. Did you hear any hate or by counter-protesters or see any violence initiated by counter-protesters?
Not at all. Every single bit of the violence in Charlottesville this weekend and what has continued has been coming from the side of white nationalists and Nazis.
So
everything,
Joe, I mean, these people were on the ground. Maybe you're going to tell me you don't believe them, but they seem pretty credible to me. What are you basing it on? Did you see a TV? You got a video somewhere we can look at?
I've read tons of their literature. I've seen what they said.
No, but you're talking about literature. I'm talking about Charlottesville. I have no doubt that there are crazy people.
You let me say like three words and then you interrupt me.
You said you've read their literature. I want to know what you know about what happened in Charlottesville, because I am sure there's some crazy person who said some crazy thing. But what you said was that there was equal, or maybe not equal, there was hatred from both sides, I think is what you said. What do you know of what happened in Charlottesville?
My assertion is that groups like Antifa and BMN are left-wing, hate, violent groups. And I'm basing that on their literature. I'm basing that on their interviews in Ferguson, in Baltimore.
So you're not making any assertions about Charlottesville?
I did not see them interviewed in Charlottesville because nobody wanted to bother.
So you're not, I'll be clear. You're not alleging then that there were any hatred or violence perpetrated by counter-protesters in Charlottesville. You're not saying
I'm saying there was a hateful, violent group in Charlottesville.
Okay, but you're not saying that anyone committed hatred or violence from counter-protesters in Charlottesville. You're not saying
are you saying if the Nazis showed up in Ferguson but didn't say anything, that they would still not be a hate group just because?
No, I think Nazis are always hate groups. But I appreciate that you're telling us now, and I'm glad that you've admitted that you have no evidence that counter-protesters spread hatred or violence.
You're creating a false argument.
No, I'm just trying to find out what evidence you have, and it sounds like you don't have any.
I have evidence.
Joe, what you're saying is, correct me if I'm wrong, what you're saying is this group, Antifa, was there, and that in other members of this group at some other time or place have written things that you find hateful. But you're not.
No,
you're
that's not all I said.
Okay,
I said it is a organized, it was just like the Nazi Party in America. It is an organized.
How are anti-fascists the same as fascists? Because I'm an anti-fascist. I'm a proud anti-fascist. I hate fascism. I hate Nazis. I don't deny it.
Well,
I want to see Nazism destroyed.
Nazis were called the Democratic Socialist Party, which the Bernie Sanders said he was.
National Socialist Party. But Joe,
you're not being honest. You're better than this. You're not being honest.
All right. Let's let my. I know Leslie and David are dying to say things. Go ahead.
First of all, no matter whether the person on the counter-protest side was from Antifa or Congregate or Surge or BLM or just someone who drove a couple of hundred miles to stand in opposition of what neo-Nazis and white supremacists stand for, I'm going to use the words of the amazing Cornel West, who spoke right before we marched on Saturday, where he said, "We hate the sin, not the sinner."
Mm-hmm.
Fair point.
And also Cornel West said,
go ahead, David.
Cornel West said, if it wasn't for Antifa, that, quote-unquote, we would have been squashed like cockroaches. Whatever outrage that Joe is hearing come out of anti-fascist groups comes out of a deep, abiding love for everybody in the world, for Muslims, for Hispanics, for Black people, for Asian people, for people of color of all lifestyles and genders and sexual orientation. This comes out of love for everybody. And that outrage and whatever quote-unquote hate he is hearing is an outrage of fascism, is an outrage of white supremacy, is an outrage of people who think that they are higher than another person because of the color of their skin. And it is an outrageous claim. And it should make people angry. And it should make people mobilize. And it should make people rise up and defend their community against the hatred that descends upon it. So,
all right, yeah. Let me take a break, folks. If you want to call in, it's 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
Rumor has it he quotes the Constitution in his sleep. Is it super nerd? No, it's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
And here's stories of my daughter and the way she was. She loved people. She wanted equality. And in this issue of the day of her passing, she wanted to put down hate. And for my part, we just need to stop all this stuff and just forgive each other. I think that's what the Lord would want us to do, is to stop, just love one another.
That was the father of Heather Heyer, the victim of the terrorist attack by neo-Nazis in Charlottesville on Saturday. My guests are talk show hosts from our affiliate WPVC in Charlottesville. They are Leslie Scott Jones and David Von Strawn. We're going to get to y'all to finish up in a second. I do want to quickly get through two callers. Jennifer, line 5 in Reston, Virginia. Go ahead, ma'am.
I just wanted to make 2 points. One, I moved here from the West Coast 20 years ago, and I still am shocked every time I see a Confederate flag or the statues or anything else. I'm a white person. I find them viscerally offensive. I'd love to see them all torn down. But the main point I wanted to make is, if there are so many incredibly violent left-wing groups out there, whatever their names are, I mean, those that can be disputed, where are all the injuries and the deaths? Because I didn't hear about any injuries of the right-wing guys at any of the Charlottesville hospitals, and I didn't see any blood, and I not that I want it. I'm just saying, if there was so much violence on the left, where were the injuries?
Fair point, Jennifer. Thank you for your call. We don't have much time left, and I want to move on to Reggie, line 4 in Georgia. Hey, Reggie, how are you?
Just fine, guys, just fine. Happy Hump Day to you all, you three, by the way. I just wanted to say that how many more of these demonstrations, marches, and or even protests have to wind up in violence before we all finally stand up and say enough is finally enough?
Reggie, what would you have us do differently? You're in Georgia. I don't know what you've seen down there. What do you think we should take from what happened in Charlottesville? I mean, as someone who wasn't there, but I assume you've done your share of marches. What should we do?
Well, we finally stand up and say enough is finally enough. Have more security. Mm-hmm. Have the cops do their jobs. You know, the mm-hmm. competent ones, the ones who are supposed to represent and stand for law, order, and security. And not just sit and stand by and watch things happening or escalated out of control and out of hand.
No. Okay. Fair point. Thank you for your call, Reggie. And for those of you who don't know, I plan to introduce a bill in Virginia next year to allow localities to ban weapons in protests, permitted protests, where law enforcement is there. Because, well, when I go to D.C., and I've been to hundreds, well, not hundreds, but at least 100 protests in D.C., you can't even carry a stick. The cardboard holding your sign falls down, but they do it purposely because they know that weapons often allow the violence to escalate. I want to give Leslie Scott Jones and David Von Strawn the final words here. Leslie, you first. What should we take from all this?
I think we should take that this is not something that is that is an isolated incident. This is something that marginalized communities, that people of color, queer people, trans people, LGBTQ, all of these people who are considered quote-unquote other go through this kind of intimidation every single day of their lives. And if that makes you upset, if that makes you sick, if that makes you angry, you no longer have the time, you no longer have any excuse for not standing up and saying something, for not standing up and doing something. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know what to do, ask. We'll tell you.
And where can people find out what to do? I'll get you a second day. Leslie, where would you say people should find out what to do, what they can do?
There are a number of websites. As we mentioned, you know, we work with several national organizations, Standing Up for Racial
Search,
Justice.
Black Lives Matter. Congregate.
You can go to Black Lives Matter pages. You can go to any community organization that is socially minded in your community will be able to give you something to do to help this cancer that we have in our country.
Okay, David, what's your takeaway from all of this?
Well, I think the silver lining and the that we have seen in all of this violence and blood and murder is that people can mobilize. We can and will defend our communities against these groups that try to come in and infiltrate and intimidate and harm our community members. Like Leslie said, all of the others, you know, all of the people of color, all of the LGBT, trans people, queer people. We no longer have the luxury of sitting on the fence and standing on the sidelines and watching people that we love and respect and work with and communicate with and admire to be hurt. And
let me ask you this. We only got about a little over a minute left. What would you do differently? They have said, the neo-Nazis have said, that they're coming back to Charlottesville.
Yep.
They have threatened to do so. I mean, Leslie talked about the fact that some of them never left and maybe live there. But if they come back en masse, as they did before, with their stupid tiki torches, what can you do differently or better, or maybe make the city or police do differently or better to avoid what happened Saturday? Any ideas?
Well, I think the police need to actually do their job. I mean, they were given an order not to engage in any fights.
The police stood by and watched the town burn, essentially, and watched people get assaulted and hit and have newspaper things thrown at them. And
Do you think an order came down? Do you think the police chief said, hey, don't intervene?
We know for a fact it did.
Oh, he did, because
exactly
he's denied that.
That's exactly what that's happened. And I personally am calling for the resignation of Al Thomas. I am calling for
the police chief, people
to act and hold their community leaders accountable for the hatred that comes inside of it, and for their ignorance and for their tolerance of letting such violence occur without any type of intrusion or any type of.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying.
I do. So I'm afraid that's going to have to be the last word, though. So Leslie Scott-Jones, David Von Strawn, I want to thank you both. I know it takes a lot of heart to come on here and share what's going on in your community. And please know there are lots and lots of good-minded people who stand with you. Thank you again for coming here on The Inside Scoop. This is Mark Levine. We'll be back on Monday.